Today's Washing Tech episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at washingtech.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And also Warby Parker. Get a free 5-day home try-on at warbyparkertrial.com/joe. 5 pairs, 5 days, and the try-on is 100% free. That's warbyparkertrial.com/joe.
Teens are using social media for a lot of different things. You know, they're doing things like posting selfies, but they're also telling us that social media is an important way for them to get connected with issues that they care about.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you. Wherever you are, so you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time. From Washington, D.C., it's the Washing Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
Mark Zuckerberg may have been aware of Facebook's shady privacy practices. Elizabeth Warren demands that the Assistant Attorney General recuse himself from the tech investigations. And Monica Anderson is my guest. The Wall Street Journal reports that internal documents may show that Mark Zuckerberg knew about Facebook's shady data protection practices happening at the company. Sources say internal emails in which executives are seen grappling with how to comply with the requirements of an FTC consent decree included silence by Zuckerberg as to the implications of an app that had the ability to reveal Facebook user data on its own site, irrespective of the user's privacy settings on Facebook. U.S. presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren is demanding that Assistant Attorney General Makan Delrahim recuse himself from the DOJ's antitrust investigation of Google and Apple. In the past, Delrahim lobbied on behalf of both companies. Senator Warren wrote directly to the Assistant Attorney General saying that not recusing himself would create the appearance of a conflict of interest. U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported a data breach last week. The agency says thieves obtained traveler photos and license plate numbers via a malicious cyber attack to a subcontractor's network. The hackers did not directly access Customs and Border Protection's database. New America's Open Technology Institute, Free Press, and Georgetown Law Center's Center on Privacy and Technology lodged a complaint at the FCC Friday, claiming that AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon have threatened public safety by enabling stalkers, people posing as police officers, debt collectors, and others by disclosing subscribers' location data to bounty hunters. The Wall Street Journal reports that Visa, MasterCard, Uber, and PayPal will each be investing around $10 million in Facebook's new cryptocurrency called Libra, which Facebook's planning to announce this week. Facebook's been largely quiet about the currency, but the Wall Street Journal reports that it would be a currency that's pegged to government-backed cryptocurrencies and allow users to use the digital coin to make purchases across the internet. Some experts are worried about money laundering. Finally, D.C.-founded Sweetgreen, the salad giant, is stepping up its delivery game. Even though Sweetgreen is now headquartered in L.A., it announced its acquisition of Galley Foods last week, also a D.C.-based company, to handle delivery logistics. This is Sweetgreen's first acquisition. Events. Let's start with today, Tuesday, June 18th. The Senate Finance Committee is having a hearing entitled The President's 2019 Trade Policy Agenda and the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Agreement. That's at 10:15 a.m. at 2:15 Dirksen. Turning to tomorrow, Wednesday, June 19th, the House Ways and Means Committee is having a hearing on the same topic, the 2019 Trade Policy Agenda. Negotiations with China, Japan, the EU, and UK, new NAFTA, USMCA, U.S. participation in the WTO, and other matters. That's at 9:30 a.m. at 1100 Longworth. The National Telecommunications and Information Administration, NTIA, is having a hearing entitled Building Smart Cities and Communities at the Regional Level. That's from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Department of Commerce. And again, that's tomorrow, Wednesday, June 19th. And you can also catch a reception at Demos at Dusk. That's from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at General Assembly, located at 509 7th Street Northwest. Turning to Thursday, June 20th, the House Small Business Committee is having an event, a hearing entitled The Importance of Accurate Census Data to Small Business Formation and Growth. That's at 10 a.m. at Rayburn 236. Also on Thursday, June 20th, the House Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress is having a hearing on cultivating diversity and improving retention among congressional staff. That's at 2 p.m. at Rayburn 2253. And if you want to attend the reception on Thursday, check out Core Research Center's Broccoli Talk, Bridging the Gap Between Artists and Tech. That's from 5 to 8 p.m. at Broccoli City Bar, located at 1817 7th Street Northwest. Turning to Saturday, June 22nd, Black Girls Code's D.C. chapter is having an event entitled A Virtual Reality Experience at the Howard University School of Business, 2600 6th Street Northwest, and that's from 10 to 4 on Saturday, June 22nd. Finally, on Monday, June 24th, the Federal Communications Commission is having its Advisory Committee on Diversity and Digital Empowerment. That's at 10 a.m. at the FCC. And you can find links to all the stories and the events in the show notes and also in our Twitter feed. And our handle is at WashingTech. Stay with us. Audible is offering a free 30-day trial. Get access to hundreds of thousands of audiobooks by trying audible.com. How about Fall by Neal Stephenson? You can download Fall free by trying audible.com. Sign up for your free audiobook and 30-day trial today at washingtech.com/book.
You're plugged into the Washing Tech Tech Policy Podcast, the inclusive voice of tech policy.
My guest today is Monica Anderson, senior researcher at Pew Research Center, primarily studying internet and technology issues. Much of her recent work has focused on the impact of the digital divide, the role of technology in the lives of teenagers, and activism in the age of social media. She has a master's degree in media studies from Georgetown, where her work focused on the intersection of race, politics, and media. Please welcome Monica Anderson. Monica, welcome back.
Thanks, Joe. It's good to be back.
So last time you were on, we talked about automation, and this time we're going to look at your report, which came out in November, which I know a lot of people have been talking about over the last few weeks. What, 8 months later? Washington moves kind of slow.
Yeah.
So, but the city moves fast. The politicians amble along. But this report specifically looks at how teens use social media, which is an important topic since we're talking about potential 2020 voters and future voters here. And with Russian interference with the 2016 election, all eyes are on how folks are using social media. So where do we start?
So I think one of the interesting things that we've seen in our report that came out last year is that teens are using social media for a lot of different things. You know, they're doing things like posting selfies, but they're also telling us that social media is an important way for them to get connected with issues that they care about. So from our survey from 2018 of teens, 66% of teens say that social media helps people their age show their support for causes and issues. And about a similar percentage says that it helps people their age find different points of view.
So we're talking about teens between 13 and 17 here.
Yeah. So we did a survey of teens living in the U.S. ages 13 to 17. That survey was filled it last March through April of 2018.
And so if they're not talking about politics like the rest of us old geezers, what are they talking about? What are they posting about?
Teens post a lot of different things. What we found is that when we asked teens about a list of things they ever post, we found that about half of teens say that they post about their accomplishments. About 40% say they post about their family. A third say they post about their emotions and feelings, and about 20% say they post about their dating life. Far fewer teens are actually posting about things related to religion or their political beliefs. Only about 1 in 10 teens say that they'd ever do this.
And they're not taking selfies as much.
You know, when we ask the question about how often teens are taking selfies, we see that, you know, they are doing that, but not necessarily on a regular basis. So only 16% of teens say that they often post selfies on social media.
I just started getting used to taking selfies. Before, it was like, why am I doing this? But you had some interesting findings on how Gen Z connects and forms friendships on social media.
That's correct. So what we see in a lot of our data is that teens are telling us both positive and negative experiences when it comes to social media. But when it comes to friendships, we do see a lot of kind of positive attributes that teens say. So 81% of teens say that they feel more connected to what's going on in their friends' lives because of social media. About 70% say they're more in touch with their friends or feelings because of these platforms. I also think it's interesting that we do see teens saying that they turn to social media to get them through tough times. So about 2/3 of teens say that social media makes them feel as if they have a group, a support group when they're going through tough times.
But you say they're spending more time in person with their friends.
Yeah, so what we found is that we asked a question of teens to gauge how much time they're actually spending online in general. And we see that about close to half of teens say that they're online almost constantly. But what might run counter to some other narratives is that we see that teens who are spending more time online are actually still more likely to spend more time with their friends in person. So social teens are social online, but also offline.
So how much healthier do you think Gen Z is overall when it comes to social media?
I think we see both positive and negative opinions coming from teens. When we asked a question about whether or not teens thought that social media had been a mostly positive thing or a mostly negative thing or had neutral effects on their generation, about 3 in 10 said mostly positive, but about 1/4 said mostly negative. And when we asked a follow-up to understand what are some of those positive and negatives, for the positive, teens were very much kind of honed into social media's impact on building and maintaining relationships. But when we look at some of the negative aspects, they're more likely to talk about things like cyberbullying and feeling as if social media makes people present themselves in a certain way. So, you know, it's a nuanced issue where we're seeing teens talking about the good side of social media and some of the not so savory parts of these platforms as well.
Well, thanks, Monica, for joining me. You know, we, the policymakers and the media, have been obsessed with millennials for a decade or more now, and we're turning to Gen Z a lot more. And all I have to say is, as an Xer, is what about us? You know, what about Xers?
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that teens aren't the only ones that are struggling with some of these issues. When we've asked parents of teens some similar questions about, you know, whether or not they feel as if they spend too much time on social media, or, you know, we ask questions of teens whether or not they ever experience their parents being distracted by their cell phone, and about half of teens say that this happens at least sometimes. So I would say even though teenagers do stand out for their kind of online and digital use, that all generations are kind of looking at these issues related to things like screen time, things related to privacy, and how technology is impacting relationships.
I've been trying to get you to call me an old geezer, but you won't do it, mm-hmm. So...
Nope.
So it's time for this week's icebreaker. Have you ever been told you look like someone famous, and who was it?
Yes, and that person is Khalees, the singer.
Is that right? Really?
Yep.
And so what's the story with Khalees and Nas?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither. So I've been told I look like Al B. Shore and Nicolas Cage.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's interesting.
No, the thing is that Al B. Shore, when years ago, he had a unibrow. I don't know if he has it anymore, but I just don't get Nicolas Cage. I don't get why that was said, and a couple different people said it. So anyway, what are you reading these days?
So I'm actually reading, I've been on somewhat of a nonfiction kick lately, and I've been reading about kind of the history of slavery in northern states. So learning a bit more about kind of the historical context of the transatlantic slave trade in different parts of the country other than the South.
Interesting, because I think a lot of people assume that slavery only happened in the South, but... you know, down on Wall Street, there was a trading post in New York. Slavery was all over the country, and we often lose sight of that. I've been reading a lot of books on nonprofit formation, so a lot of fun. Usually, I've been trying to get through the classics, but now I'm turning the podcast into a nonprofit. So I've been stuck on looking into nonprofit formation stuff. But in any case, so now turning to career advice, because we worked together at the Joint Center, what was it, 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you've come a long way. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you.
What's your secret?
You know, I think that as a researcher, it's been really important for me to connect with other people that are working in this space. So building up, you know, a core group of colleagues and peers who are all kind of trying to answer those same kind of questions and building that out, I think it really kind of not only helps you as you're navigating career, but it helps inform the research. So I think having a good community behind you is has been a really positive thing for me.
And what are some final words you'd like to leave with us before we close? And where can we find you online?
Yeah, I would like to say that, you know, we do a lot of different kinds of work here at the center, teams and technology being one of them, but our work kind of intersects on a lot of different issues. So if you have an interest in things like online harassment or privacy concerns or even about issues related to kind of technology and politics more generally, I would say check out our website. That's pewinternet.org. And you can follow me on Twitter at Monica R. Anders.
And you've been listening to Monica Anderson, senior researcher at the Pew Research Center. Monica, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
These kids grow up way too fast. What are we going to call the generation after Gen Z? Anyway, that concludes episode 190 of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts, give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect from the show and really helps us out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.
Washing Tech.